worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, July 31st, 2016, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Let us rejoice and be glad in the day that you have made. Lord, we come on this beautiful summer morning to praise you. Help us to listen to your word and know the comfort of your love and the caring message of your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us the courage to act on your voice within us. We ask your continued care for Pastor Jim. Help him to regain his full health and strength. Let us rejoice and be glad in the day that you have made. Amen.
They called him Jesus. He came to love.
Now, we have a little bit of a change in your bulletins this morning. We were not going to be reading the Luke scripture. Instead, we'll be reading Acts 12, verses 1 through 24. If you'd like to find it in your pew Bible, it is on page 896. About that time, King Herod laid violent hands upon some who belonged to the church. He had James, the brother of John, killed with the sword. After he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the festival of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he put him in prison and handed him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending to bring him out to the people after the Passover. While Peter was kept in prison, the church prayed fervently to God for him. The very night before Herod was going to bring him out, Peter, bound with two chains, was sleeping between two soldiers, while guards in front of the door were keeping watch over the prison. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He tapped Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his wrists. The angel said to him, "Fasten your belt and put on your sandals." He did so. Then he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." Peter went out and followed him. He did not realize that what was happening was with the angel's help was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. After they had passed the first and second guard, they came before the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord. They went outside and walked along a lane, and suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hands of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." As soon as he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many had gathered and were praying. When he knocked at the outer gate, a maid named Rhoda came to answer. On recognizing Peter's face, she was so overjoyed that, instead of opening the gate, she ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she insisted that it was so. They said, "It was his angel." They said, "It is his angel." Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the gate, they saw him and were amazed. He motioned to them with his hand to be silent, and described for them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he added, "Tell this to James and to the believers." Then he left and went to another place. When morning came, there was no small commotion among the soldiers over what had become of Peter. When Herod had searched for him and could not find him, he examined the guards and ordered them to be put to death. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, so they came to him in a body after winning over Blastus, the king's chamberlain. They asked him for a reconciliation because their country depended on the king's country for food. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat on the platform, and delivered a public address to them. The people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a mortal." And immediately, because he had not given the glory to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God continued to advance and gain adherence. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Next, let me catch you up on me. Last Friday, a week ago, I thought I was having another heart attack, but it felt different. Upon arriving at the hospital, they did an EKG. They said I had a cluster blockage. And to me, that means there's a lot of things stopped up, a cluster blockage. So on to the great helicopter flight down to Salt Lake City, and I am not saying that with tongue in cheek. It's a great thing to be able to go by helicopter. It's so much better, to be honest with you, than the ambulance ride out and the getting the airplane ready, and then it's just another ambulance ride. So, I mean, you go from the hospital to the hospital, and it's really saves a lot of time, a lot of extra transportation. Heart cath was done, looked good. Everything looked good. As a matter of fact, the good news out of this whole thing was the coronary artery disease is actually improved from the last time I had it done. So now we're scratching our head. So an ultrasound of the heart is done with contrast, and they find a blood clot in the right ventricle of my heart. And they determine to aggressively treat this. They'd already given me the clot busters and all of those drugs here. So they just kind of jumped right on that with heparin and Coumadin and all of that stuff. And they were able to resolve the clot that was in my heart. I did not have a heart attack. I don't have new heart damage. But what was happening was as that blood clot was going through the different chambers of the heart, it was giving me those heart attack symptoms. Had it have stopped somewhere along that track, I would have had a heart attack. If it had left the heart, it would have went to the brain or lungs, stroke or pulmonary embolus. God is good. God answers prayers. And I could feel the prayers of the people. I was never worried that it wouldn't be all right. I just want to go home. You know, 5 days down there, 60-something blood draws. Norma said, "So you were counting?" I said, "I didn't have anything else to do." And they looked on Tuesday evening with a MRI of the heart, hour and 35 minutes in the tube, and the clot is gone. God is good, church, and He answers prayers. So let's look at the text this morning for a minute and talk about answered prayers. This is, verse 5 is going to be one of our focuses for this message this morning, and answered prayers. What do we do? We talk about prayer requests, we talk about care, but what about the answers to the prayers? So I want you to think about, I'm not going to ask you to contribute to this in a little bit, but I want you to think about during this message is the times that God has answered prayer in your life. how God has answered prayer in your life. As Christians, we believe in the supernatural. I'm not talking about Sam and Dean. How many of you watch Supernatural? Come on, I know some of you just don't want to confess it. But we believe in the, if you will, the unexplainable. We believe in the divine power of God to intervene in the lives of humanity. And now we get this story of Peter. Here it is, the fledgling church is just getting off the ground. It's actually taken off. Stephen's dead, martyred already. We're in chapter 12 of Acts. Saul has become Paul, and you'll read that if you go on into chapter 12 and 13, you start catching up again with Paul. Peter is leading this group. There are actually appointed, there's churches. It's really growing in numbers, and it's becoming a threat, and the Jews are hating it. They're wanting to destroy it. They're wanting to kill it. And you know, these are the same Jews, and this is the same Herod that had put Jesus to death. We're a year after the death of Jesus, back at the feast of the Passover, the feast of unleavened bread. We're 1 year into this, and now Herod has decided this thorn in his side needs to be removed. So he goes violently. Herod was a violent king. He began to persecute the early church. He has James killed, and now he's got Peter in prison. And he's next. Trouble, wasn't it? Can you imagine what this early church thought? You know, we turn our pages in the newspaper, thumb it through on the internet, flip it from CNN to Fox to MSN, it don't matter, pick you one. And it's trouble, 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 trouble. Whether it's a world map we look at or just arrest reports in our own communities. Can you imagine how this little group of church people, a few thousand, took the news that now Peter too was arrested? That Herod was coming out against them and joining with the Jews. And now that Herod has found that there's this political connection in killing these Christians, he's all for it even the more. For it pleased the Jews. And the church's response to this is what? Verse 5. And the church. Not the bricks and mortar. The church. Look around. Look at the people around you. That's the church. And the church began to pray. No. That's an understatement. They began to pray in agonizingly deep and heartfelt prayer. This fervently, fervently. This is the picture of this is bowing down and praying with so much conviction that you actually sweat blood. You're so fervent in that prayer. Oh Lord, for that kind of prayer is needed today by the church. And they began to pray to God in the name of Jesus for Peter. They didn't pray for themselves. They didn't pray to be protected. They were boldly before the throne of God praying for Peter. And guess what happened? An angel comes. Four squads of soldiers, 32 Roman soldiers, were guarding. The scripture says, and he was double chained between two of them. What that means is he was chained to both of these soldiers. And the angel comes, and the Greek actually says the angel kicks him in the ribs. Thump. Evidently, Peter wasn't too scared of things. He was sleeping pretty soundly. I guess Peter figured, if this is it, that's it. The angel says, get up. You know, chains fall off and put on your belt and your sandals. Get your coat. Let's go. The iron gate opens up. Peter goes out and the woman comes to the gate. When she hears him knocking, and she's so excited, she just leaves him standing there. Runs back in the house. And it's probably wee hours of the morning. And I bet you that they looked at her like she had 12 eyes and 17 heads. Peter's at the gate. Well, why didn't you let him in? You know, you tell us he's at the gate, but you didn't let him in. I forgot. Have you ever been that excited? Have you ever been that excited? Yeah, I have a few times. You know, you get excited about something and you go running off and you think, well, I didn't get that. I left that. Have any of you left something behind because you were otherwise distracted? So they go out, and sure enough, it's Peter. They let him in, and they begin to praise, and he says, shh, you're going to get me busted, you know. Here's what happened. I'm gone. I got to get out of town. Them old boys, 32 of them, they'll be after me soon. And this is the first place they'll come. So Peter pops out of town. Herod's a little upset. So he has all 32 of them killed, as well as their families. That was the penalty that a Roman soldier would endure for losing a prisoner or failing at their duty. And they were slain at the edge of the sword. In other words, they were beheaded. And the story goes on and moves forward. But do you see the miraculous? Peter couldn't even believe it was happening. He thought he was having a vision. He thought he was having a vision. And Herod convenes his court, and the people say, he sounds like a god. And Herod says, oh, that feels good. They think I'm a god. Oops. And he dies, and the worms eat him. In other words, he literally rotted sitting there. In the Greek, it's, and he burst open with worms eating him. That should delay lunch for you. And I like how Luke says, Herod's dead. And the church is growing. You know, Herod's dead. It's kind of like the wicked old witch is dead. You know, kind of thing, you know. So the church is growing. Prayer is always answered by God when it's prayed by His children. And those who believe are the children of the living God. And that doesn't mean we pray in perfection. It doesn't mean that perfect people come together and pray the perfect prayer. It means imperfect people come together to pray an imperfect prayer and are honestly falling on their knees before God and admitting they need God every day. It means that it's humility and truth that finds us before God. It is that that unites us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No one is perfect. No, not one. But we come together and we pray. We pray as individuals for common situations, praying for me, praying for each other, praying for family and friends, but praying. God always answers the prayer of His children. Three ways. Yes, no, and wait. God's not Santa Claus. God's not Burger King. It's not fast food. Most of your prayers are answered with Not now. Most of your prayers and my prayers and our prayers are answered not right now. Wait. And the problem with that is sometimes we good old Christians get a little impatient, don't we? How many of you have watched the movie Creed? Come on. If you haven't watched it, you need to watch it. It's one in the Rocky series. This is a Sylvester Stallone series. It's the last one. And it's about Apollo Creed. You know, he's in the first Rocky. And anyway, it's his son, Anthony Creed, Don, they call him. And in this movie, Sylvester Stallone, Rocky, puts him in front of a mirror to box himself. And he says to him, the greatest enemy you will face in the ring and life is yourself. And he said, now box your enemy. The greatest enemy we have to answered prayer is often ourselves. When God says wait, we need to learn to wait. Because if we get in the way, sometimes we block our own blessings. Did you know that? Sometimes we derail God's plan for our lives because we don't wait. We get impatient with it. And we go ahead and put our plan in action and our agenda in action. And we decide we know what God wants for us. And in the match, Creed is fighting this pound for pound best fighter in the world in Liverpool, England. And Rocky says, what's going on? I need to stop the fight. He says, why do you want to continue to prove that I wasn't a mistake? And Rocky said, the only thing that's standing in your way is yourself. And young Creed enters the ring, renewed with a correct purpose. The 12th and final round. That's it. That's all you get. That's the spoiler. You get no more. So if you and if you've seen it, don't tell them. Make them go look. Redbox has got it. It's a buck. I mean, go on and see it. Answered prayer is to let God's will be done. When we get impatient and we jump the gun, we are showing how, if you will, weak our faith is. Sometimes God says to wait so that we have to rely on God more. Sometimes if we don't learn the lessons while we wait, God will keep backing us up until He gets us down here so far we don't have anything else but Him. Somebody said, you don't know how much you need God till God's all you've got. Children, listen. When you accept Jesus Christ into your life, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life with the very pen dipped in the blood of Jesus. And nothing erases that. Okay? You're in. Now, you can make a mess out of that. You can get away from His blessings and fall from His graces. Because He's not going to condone your mess, and He's not going to rubber stamp your sin, okay. But He's going to discipline you, and He's going to chasten you. Know that too. He loves you enough. So realize that. It's real love that will say to someone they love, no. Rather than, well, I guess it's all right. It's a little harder. It's a little harder. I tell my kids and my grandkids, you know, I'd like to say yes, but sometimes it's no. Let me ask you a question. Just to reflect, you don't have to answer. Just kind of think about it. How many of you have looked back on now, and I hope you've been thinking about on your prayers, and you're really glad God did not answer some of them? I am. I prayed for a school teacher one time that her ears would fall off. Do you know why? That woman could hear what I was thinking. I sat with my desk to the chalkboard every day. I couldn't see a thing. I got her back. She had a squeaky chair. So I took it down to the ag building and I oiled it. You remember the old oak chairs? Do you? With the arms on them? Do you remember all the desks used to be great big oak decks and they were open in the front? You remember that? So I took her chair down and I oiled that puppy up. There wasn't a squeak about it. And I also sawed the back two legs almost in two. Filled them in with a little bit of glue. Took it back. She sat down in it. She weighed about 3 1/4. She always made us read while she read her paper. There's a teacher looking at me with stern looks. She throwed back with that paper, which she did, them back two legs come off. Out from under that desk come that chair across the room. Whoom, in the floor she went. And I was in the floor too. Then I was out of school for a few days. I had to buy a chair. But it was still funny. But not really. She could have really gotten hurt. Sometimes we get in the way of our own blessings. You see, my problem was me. Kate Zuver was a good woman and an excellent teacher and supported her students and wanted them to do good. But I got in my way. That wasn't a good thing, was it? Oh, I say the story and we go, ha, ha, ha. I got in my own way and missed what could have been. I bet some of us get in our own way, don't we? And here's the other thing about answered prayer. God answers all prayers, but every time God answers a prayer, it's for the long run, not for the short term. Do you hear me? It's for the long run, not the short term. When God answered this early church's prayers, it was that Peter could come to them and assure them of the prayer answered, but also that Peter may continue in the building of the church, and that they, having witnessed this miracle, would be strengthened in their faith too. Now I want to share a couple stories in closing. The year was 1995. It was the first Sunday in July when a redneck took his first full-time church in Polk County, North Carolina. That was me, of course. New Hope. Morris Lamb said, might as well call it No Hope. He told me, come by the house to make a point of it. Don't unpack. We don't keep them long. As a matter of fact, the church was founded in 1839. The longest pastoral stay had been 4 years. Some as short as 3 months. I stayed 9. Pretty tough skin. No, that's God at work. The second Sunday I was there, they had a welcome covered dish luncheon. And I had my first ever peanut butter cake. Susan Hensley brought it. Oh, peanut butter. On a banana. On an apple. Or just on a spoon. It's good. Dip it in honey. Oh, my. molasses mixed in with it. Oh boy. Peanut butter, honey, and sprinkle you some cinnamon oatmeal in it. Oh. Anyway. Pavlov's here. But I also met Mr. and Mrs. Hensley. Gerald was Susan's husband, but his dad's name was Gerald too. And his mom's name was Elizabeth. Everybody called her Lizzie. They were in their late 70s, early 80s. I don't remember exactly then. They hadn't been to church in a long time, and Susan came, but Gerald wasn't coming to church either, and that was their youngest son. Gerald worked for Jackson Construction, LLC, and was a cut man on a carpentry job. Susan worked at a nursing home taking care of people, and they come up to me after the covered dish. They said, they come to church and stayed for the food and all that stuff, and they come up to me, and Gerald and Lizzie said, we want you to pray for our kids to get back in church. They were raised in church. But Alan, the oldest, he hates God. Would you pray for our children? There was Alan and Nikki, who was autistic, and Gerald. So I did. I began to pray for them. I'd never met Alan. Then I would meet Alan in about 5 months. When I buried his mother, Lizzie. 4 months later, I buried Gerald's dad. I'm still praying for these kids. Alan didn't come to his dad's funeral. He was too drunk. Gerald was coming back to church. And now they were trying to figure out what to do with Nikki. Nikki loved to color. She was 35 years old. And she colored the most beautiful pictures you've ever seen. She was sweet as sweet could be. She was one of those people you just wanted to love. And you were special in Nikki's book when you had one of her pictures. I had a few of them. Some were in the moving stuff. I don't know where they went. And then I buried Nikki. And Gerald comes by the house and, you need to know this, watermelons. This man grew watermelons and cantaloupes, the likes of which he wouldn't tell you what he did. They were absolutely the best watermelons ever. He come by the house and he brought a watermelon. What's going on? You know? Wants to talk to me. He wants to get his life back together. Let's get things right with God. Gerald doesn't miss any more church after that unless he's sick. He says, keep praying for Alan. I said, I'm praying for Alan every day. Alan ran an auto body shop. Susan calls me. She says, can you go to Spartanburg? Something's happened to Alan. We don't know what it is. So I buzz down to Spartanburg, go in the hospital. Alan's had a major heart attack. From cocaine and alcohol and all the other stuff, his heart had gotten enlarged. And he's had a heart attack. And he will soon die. But he wants to go home. He don't want to stay in the hospital. So he goes home. So men in the church get together. We go down and fix a ramp and tear out a wall in the living room so they can put, because he lived in a mobile home, 14 by 70. We took out a wall and fixed it so he could get a hospital bed in the living room. And it's about 5 miles from my house. And I go down to visit with him we get to talking. I'm still praying for Alan. The year is 1999. Alan accepts Jesus as his Savior. And I baptize him with water and a bedpan. And in a few weeks, I bury Alan. Here's mom, dad, and two children. And in 2000, I will bury Gerald. I was with Gerald before he went back for open heart surgery at the VA hospital in Asheville, North Carolina. Gerald took my hand and he said, "Pastor, if I don't come out of here, I'm all right." And he said, "If I don't come out of here, you know we're going to have a fight called Armageddon one day." I said, "Yeah, Gerald, that's what the book says." He said, "When you get there, I'll be holding a horse for you." Gerald didn't come home. He died an hour after the surgery. But God answered the prayers of that mother and father. Maybe not in any way that they thought God would answer them, but those prayers were answered, those souls were saved, those lives were changed, and not only did those lives change, but the lives of the people they touched, and the lives of their children were touched, and the lives of their communities were touched, and my life, 20 years later, church, ain't the same for having known a Hensley family in Polk County, North Carolina. God don't answer a prayer for just this moment. It reaches down through your heart, your life, your soul, and touches you for all of it, not just some of it. That's the God we serve that'll answer a prayer in a way that won't just be a candy wrapper present. I told you two stories. I might beat you, Gary. My second story involves somebody you are aware of. My second story involves someone you know of. You may not know this person very well, but you know of them. Psst. Go the wrong way. This story involves my little buddy. About to hear this one. In 2008, we greeted a little boy. His name is Nicholas Randall Griffin. Later, he had come to be known as Turbo. He's still known as Turbo. He got really sick. The doctor said he was failing to thrive. And if we didn't figure out what was wrong, he would die. A chubby, fat-cheeked little boy, full of lots of energy, was dying. Because everything he ate, he threw up. And I don't mean little. He projectile vomited. To Duke Medical Center, Hemby Children's Hospital, we drugged this little boy to every doctor we could find and every test that could be run. We're sorry. Feeding tube. and a backpack. And they sent him home with us. That's where the turbo came from. He'd get down and play with that little backpack hold. I said that backpack was turbocharging him. Finally, the doctors decided they would do an experimental surgery on our little boy. They would rearrange his stomach somehow. Maybe that would do it. He was to go to the hospital on Monday. So on Sunday, we brought him before the church. And the church gathered around this little boy and laid hands on him. Every hand of that church. And we prayed for this little boy. We had been praying for this little boy. But it seemed we were losing ground. We took him and admitted him to Hemby Hospital. Had an old doctor come in and said, "I want to feed him." "What do you mean?" He said, "I just want to feed him." And they began to feed the little man. And 2 days later, we don't understand it. Take him home. He's okay. Here he is. Years later, I might add. God doesn't answer a prayer for the short term. Sometimes the answer to the prayer is difficult. Sometimes the answer to the prayer is no. But the answer to the prayer is always one of love and of grace. And I praise God that He took care of this little boy. And I thank God that He took care of a Hensley family and still does. And children of that family don't miss church. Howard sings in a quartet. Robin teaches. This is Gerald's daughter, whose aunt was Nikki, who was autistic. She teaches special needs kids and specializes in children with autism. And she has a boy with autism. Thank you, Nick. God answers our prayers. We have to learn to live with and accept God's answers. We have to learn to wait on God's timing. And when God works in our life, we need to tell people about God's work in our lives, that they would be encouraged, even if they're in the waiting room. Think about it. Moses waited 40 years in a wilderness. Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years. God's ways are above our ways. God's mind is above ours, and God's purpose, we need to know, is always to love us. So if you're in the holding pattern, stay in it. Don't become your own worst enemy. If you're praying for somebody and you've been praying a long time, don't stop. God's listening. And if you know somebody's been praying for you, thank them. Because I felt the prayers for me, and I have felt them for me in the past. And I know the power of prayer on both sides of the fence, when there's death and tragedy, and where there's magical healing and deliverance. when there's grief and heartbrokenness, and when there's trials and tribulations. God answers prayers, church. It's not a waste of time. It's not a waste of energy. And when God blesses you, don't turn your back on God's blessings. Give Him praise and credit for it. Don't be a Herod and deny God in your life. God answers prayers. Keep them going. He's listening. And if you're in the holding pattern, waiting's not a bad thing. It'll teach you patience. And if you don't have it, pray for that too. God will give it to you. And always remember, God's not going to hand you a Band-Aid when you need surgery. And always remember, we need to be on God's side. He's already on ours. He answers prayers. Hallelujah. Amen. On Sunday, August the 14th, not this first Sunday coming, but the second Sunday in August, I am asking that we have a meeting of the church council. All the members of the church council following worship, as well as any other member of the church who would like to stay and be a part of this meeting. Again, this is for the church council and any of the other members of the church who would like to be a part of that. We're going to be talking about, bishop's elections are over, general conference things are over, and we have a new bishop appointed to our annual conference. And we're going to be discussing all of the stuff that's going on around that and where we are as a church. And I know that I've gotten a lot of calls and questions, and I think it's better we take care of that. So that'll be the 14th, and that is following worship. So pass the word. We'll put it in the bulletin for next week. It'll be following the worship service. I guess we could say if we're going to have a time, it would be like noon. So we'll do that. So that's going to be on the 14th.
When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you His wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Count your blessings.
May we not let the troubles of the world burden us to the point that we can't pray. But may the burdens of the world cause us to pray. And may we know that God hears us and God answers us. And may God give us the strength to wait if the word is wait, to accept it and the will of Him who loves us beyond measure. May we trust in Him. And now may you go in that peace and grace that surpasses our understanding. And may it go with you, keep you, and bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The preceding was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. If you would like copies of this message for friends or family, you may contact us at area code 307-362-5334. Our email address is rsfumc@hotmail.com. Visit our website at www.rsumc.org. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 8290. You are cordially invited to join us in worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings.